Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be up here preaching. If you've got your Bible, stay in Colossians. We're going to be there in just a moment. And then we're going to go to some other places this morning. And we're talking about making a difference or being a difference maker in today's world. And we're going to be in Colossians Chapter 3 in 1 through 4, and that's going to be our text, so stay there. Hayden eloquently read the very first part of this, and that's Colossians chapter 3 and 1 is a passage that if you spend any time at my house, you will hear me quoting over and over again to my kids in situations, whether it's something good or something bad. When anything bad happens, or whenever they're complaining about something, or this person, that, I always tell, hey, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Put our mind, right now, I want everybody to do something for me. We're going to take a little exercise. One of the problems that we have in coming to church is that a lot of times we're here for a lot of different reasons. And like I said this morning, the welcome is that, we'll be here for this reason or that reason, whether it's, I've always been, if I don't go, then I'll be in trouble and God will be mad. And, but I want to see this person or that person, whatever the reason is. And sometimes we all listen to sermons for different reasons. And a lot of times we listen to sermons because so-and-so needs to really hear that. And I hear that a lot. Is that, oh man, that person really needed to be here to hear that one. I always think that the best sermons ever preached are the ones that go right over your head and step on the toes of the person behind you. Exactly. So this morning, I want us to we all know the things that are just weighing us down. We all know the issues and the people that are just, that are just absolutely driving us nuts. And this morning, I want us to forget about that. You're not here for anybody else. Nobody else needs to be here. Nobody needs to hear this sermon but you. And set your mind on things above. On things above. Because God will bless you in that. Because God will make everything more clear. He will make everything make more sense. In Ephesians, he tells us that His Spirit will give us an understanding that transcends our perspective. He says, give me a peace that passeth all understanding. That's the King James Version right there. He says, he uses words like passeth. He says, God, your Holy Spirit can give me something that transcends all the understanding that I can have on my own. So today, as we're here this morning, we've sang songs of worship and praise, and we've prayed prayers and communed together. We've had the Word read to us, and I want to invite us to not merely hear the Word, but be doers of that word, and to set our minds on heavenly things. Think about, where does God want me to go this morning? Not where does He want me to be right now, but where does He want me to go? Where does He want to take me? Because difference makers, what we're going to talk about, difference makers are remade. If we want to be a difference maker, if we want, and as we've talked about in weeks before about, does Jesus Christ really make a difference? Does Jesus really, really make a difference in our life? Then we're going to, if He does, then we're going to be remade. We're not going to stay the same. And remember the friendship that we have with God. Remember from a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this friendship with God, and that means everything to us. Because if we don't see God as approachable, if we don't see God as making sense to us and being on our side and being one of us, then we'll never experience Him the way that He wants us to experience Him. And we'll never continue to grow and mature, as we talked about last week. We'll never continue to grow. We'll never get where He wants us to go on a daily basis. Because too often we feel like we've arrived, haven't we, in our relationship with God. We feel like I'm where God wants me to be. But see, God doesn't want us to be anywhere. He wants us to be going. That's why He says in Mark and in Luke, He says, come, follow me. You ever think, come, follow me. Because Jesus is walking this path and He's going to this place. And unless we are on a cross or we are in heaven, we are still on that journey. Jesus didn't say, come and be with me. He said, follow me. So where does God want you to go this morning? Where is the upward thinking, the heavenly thinking, the personal experience? Where does God want you to go this morning? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know what that means? We say a lot of things as Christians, and we come here to celebrate a lot of the realities of our relationship with God. But what God's telling us is that if you're in Christ, then you're a new creation. You've been made new. Your thinking is new. Your desires are new. Your agenda is new. Your objectives for each and every day, it's new. It's all different. And the purpose of that, the reason, is for this ministry of reconciliation. We think, oh, okay, well then I'm being, this ministry of reconciliation is me being reconciled to God. No, keep reading. He's reconciled us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, there's a lot of deep theology in those couple of verses there. But you know what He's telling us? He's telling us that if we want to make a difference, we have to recognize that we are remade, that we are brand new, that we are different than we used to be, different than anyone that's not in Christ is. And we're that way for a reason. We're that way for a purpose. We're that way so that through us, other people might be reconciled. So if we want to be a different, if we want to make a difference, then we have to understand that all of this relationship with Christ stuff, all of this being reconciled, all of this, praise God, my sins have been forgiven. You know, there's power in the blood, and what can wash away my sin? All of that is so that we can reconcile others to Him. See, this is how the circle just continues to go. The pattern just replicates itself over and over again. So if we're going to be difference makers, if Christ is going to be important to us and we're going to make a difference, then we have to understand what that difference is. And it isn't just a different way to define us looking like everybody else in the world. It isn't just a way to sanitize all of our wants and all of our desires and all of our this and all of our that and just call it blessings from God. It's not that. It's, are we reconciling the world to God? Now flip back over to Colossians. Because the first thing he says is that if we've been raised with Christ, we're going to set our minds on things above. If we're going to be difference makers, we must detach from the world. One of the things that is fascinating to me is technology. And we have this incredible technology at our fingertips. We've got smartphones creating stupid people. We've got Wi-Fi everywhere. We're connected. We're communicating. We over-communicate. It's just, it's bizarre to me. And we spend, at times, a great deal of money taking young people on these trips out into the woods, up into the mountains, where there is no cell phone signal, just to get them away from the world for a minute so that they can hear something other than the buzzing that's going on inside their heads. And we call those youth group trips or mission trips. And after about a week, you know what they start to realize? I haven't been on my phone in a week, and I can still breathe. The swelling has gone down, and I've not died yet. But the problem is that we come back to this world. And so often, adults never take those kinds of trips. And it's fun to say, oh, those kids today and their technology and all that, but we're all in the same boat. We all have the same technology. It's just a little sanitized more when the adults are the ones that are pulling out their iPhone, looking up iBible on there. See, I used to think everyone was texting in church, but no, we have our e-Bibles. And so now we can look up scripture on our e-Bible and return a text at the same time. But we're just so connected. And we're connected to this world. We're connected to each other. We're connected to this world. And what God is saying is that there comes this time when we have to detach from this world. And maybe that is detaching from technology. Maybe it is detaching from communication. I mean, think about the life of Christ. How many times do you read about in the Gospels where Christ was, he was connected to the world. He was just in there and he was doing ministry. He was healing. He was doing miracles. And he just said, I gotta get away. I've got to get away from all of the noise, all of the hustle and bustle, all of the ministry and all of everything. I've just got to get away and I've got to get with God and I've got to reorient and I've got to set my mind on things above, not on things of the earth, because even Jesus could get overwhelmed with the needs of this earth and the sickness and the death and the poverty and all of those things. And that was ministry and he had to get away from it. How much more do we need to get away from the things that occupy our day? To hear from the Lord, to be remade, to be recreated. Because you see, if you think that what you think about doesn't matter, then you need to think again. I mean, if you think that what, you know, it just matters what I didn't know. It matters what we think about. God doesn't say, he doesn't start this teaching out. He starts this whole teaching, Paul does, by talking about friendship and relationship with God. And then he talks about growing and maturing. And then he talks about what you think about. And so far, he really hasn't addressed a whole lot about what we do. Oh, he's about to get there. But you see, what we think about matters. That's why I started out. What's on your mind? Who are you thinking about? Who needs to be here? You do. You need to be here. You need to be present and accounted for, not just bodily, but mentally. We need to have our minds oriented where they need to go. Because isn't it our life where multitasking is all the rage? And a lot of times, a lot of people, it's a badge of honor how busy they can be, how much they can get done in a day, how much they can get done in a minute, how much they can get done all at one time. I wish it was in vogue to, and it was a badge of honor of how long we could just sit and meditate on the Lord. Instead of saying, oh, and you know, Facebook is, oh, I'm busy, I don't know how I'm going to do it all. Oh, you're so great, you know. It's like, I wish we could say on Facebook, you know, I sat for 3 hours and just thought about Jesus today. You know what you would hear? Well, there's so much else you could be doing. Well, you know, there's hungry people. And that's what we do. We always throw up all the, you know, well, there's all this other good. Remember when the lady broke the alabaster jar of nard over Jesus and said, well, you could have fed so many people with that. Jesus says, you don't understand, do you? Well, you could have been doing that. You could have blessed this person. You could have helped, you know. I just sat and just basked in the glory of God. What all did you get done? Oh, nothing, nothing. On the contrary, I was trying not to get anything done. Do you know how productive the Spirit was in my life today? Do we ever think about that? Difference makers have to detach from the world. See, the world would say, well, that's a big, big stinking waste of time. That's a terrible waste of the resource. You're not being a good steward of your resource of time. Jesus would say, maybe you're being an excellent steward of that resource. Difference makers must detach. Difference makers have to deprogram our behaviors. He goes on to say, put to death. After he says we'll be remade, think on things heavenward. Think on things above, not on things of the earth. He says, put to death. Not set aside for a season. Put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He says, these are things that are to go away forever. See, that's something that, you know, that word death there, that's a word that we tend to shy away from. It's a word that God uses a lot in Scripture to make a point. He doesn't say, you know, I mean, death is ultimate, right? Death is the last thing that will happen to us here on this earth. And he says, kill. And that's what he says, kill these things. Kill them. So sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. And I love this. And this is the only one he defines. He says, and greed, which is idolatry, by the way. See, I don't think he's defining it as so that we'll know what it is. So we'll say, okay, all right. So when I worship idols, that's when I'm being greedy. No. He's just saying greed is idolatry. And I think there's a by the way in there, or a BTW or something. If he were texting this, it would be, and BTW, greed, idolatry, hashtag, something like that. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in your life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. And he gives us another list. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. It's kind of an odd way of ending that, isn't it? I mean, he says, think about God, think about heaven. Don't think about this. Don't be preoccupied with the here and now, but think about heaven, think about God. And then he says, put to death and rid yourself of this exhaustive, short but exhaustive list. Because this isn't every sin, but it is every sin. Not everything is listed, but everything's accounted for. And if you spend some time meditating on this list, you will find every ailment that sickens the soul of man somewhere embedded in what he has just said. He doesn't leave anything out. No motives, no manifestations of those motives, nothing. And then he ends it in this peculiar way. He says, you feel this new self being renewed in the knowledge, the image of its creator. Okay, well that's an interesting thought. And he's bringing back to us the idea of thinking above. You know, it's not just me, but I'm made in the image of someone else, someone greater. And in verse 11 is just this odd little, because here there is no this, 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 this. Do you know why he puts that in there? At the end of this list of sins and sinful motives and heart conditions? Because you see, all of this, everything that we do, every way that we sin is a way of tearing down relationships. It's a way of being unrelatable or just hurting other people or setting ourselves up above others. And that's what he says, because there's no reason to try to separate yourself from the herd any longer. There's no one-upsmanship. Nobody wins. There are no winners. Everybody's a winner. There are no losers. Everyone's a loser. Everybody's the same. He says, in Christ, the reality is you don't have to lord anything over anybody. You don't have to be better than anybody else. You don't have to point out the flaws of other people. Everyone is the same. You are all wonderfully loved and dearly made in Christ. So relax. You don't have to be richer than anyone else. You don't have to be smarter than anyone else. You don't have to be freer. You don't have to oppress. You don't have to be socially superior in any way. Because where it really matters, you're the greatest. That's what he's saying. See, think about, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we hurt the people that we hurt? Why do we hold grudges against? Why do we, why do we save up and store up for ourselves treasures on earth? Why do we stack it all up to the ceiling so that we can be seen as smarter or better or more powerful or what? He says, forget all that. Because it causes these relationship gaps that don't glorify God. So we have to deprogram our behaviors. We have to realize what's really important. And then he says, when we do that, when we start this deprogramming phase, then we're able to demonstrate a Christ-likeness. You see, it's until we tear all this down that until we do that, we can't be built up. Because then he goes on to say, therefore, as God's chosen people, therefore, because you've torn all this down, because you put to death all these things, you've rid yourself of this. You're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. See, he doesn't just go into the commands. He doesn't just say, okay, now that I've told you what not to do, let me tell you what you better do. He says, I want you to think of yourself as God's chosen people. How special does that make you feel to know that God chose you? You know what you needed to hear this morning? You. Not the church. Not this collective body of believers. You were chosen by God to be His child. You were. As an individual, Dwayne, you were chosen. God said, I want him. God said, I want you, Mark. Not just this group of, not just this type. He said, I want you, Connie, specifically. You are chosen. How much more valuable in the universe can you be than chosen individually by God? You think naturally, well, if I'm chosen and other people aren't, are they not chosen? You. Think about you. See, that's what we do, isn't it? We immediately go to, well, what about this? And we're going to debate the theologically. No, you, dearly chosen. For some of us here this morning, I know this for a fact, you need to think about nothing else this week, but God chose me. There are those in this room, and if you're thinking, is he talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. You need to think about nothing else all week long. Write it down, pray about it, sing it, make up a song about it. I am chosen by God. And let that heal your lack, your want. frustrations. Let that peel away the layers of damage that other people have and will continue to do, that God chose you. He says, therefore, you're holy, you're dearly loved. Then he says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave. And all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you're called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. You see, when we empty our plate, we're free to fill it with something else. You know, one of the things that that I love about Highland Hills is the days when we eat together. When, you know, we have this big spread out there. I mean, it's like the pilgrims at the first Thanksgiving. And one of the things that I love is watching all of the men carry in all of these trays that their wives made. And Miss Janice has got those cakes, and, you know, with the stuff and the ooh and the you know. And then when you sit down, you gotta eat all this, you know, the chicken and the casseroles and all that. But then there's this one point when your plate is empty. Mark, you know what I'm talking about. When your plate, you've eaten all the green beans and all that stuff, and you know what you're free to do? You're free to take that plate, go to that, you know, that small set of tables over there close to that door. You know that those tables I'm talking about, don't you? They're always down there closer to that, the office. They got all the brownies and the cakes and that bowl of the banana pudding stuff and maybe some brown stuff with some pink stuff over here. And, you know, and you take that plate. And what we do is we put those little bitty plates out there for the rookies, for the folks that don't really know what they're doing. Jake's lasted that little plate. What is that plate for? What is that? Get that out of here. Get the big plate with the sections. See, when your plate's empty, then you can put all the good stuff on there. I mean, and just pile it high with the good stuff. I mean, the cakes and the brownies and the pudding and the chocolate and the jiggly jello desserts that aren't really that good, but they're better than what else we've had. You know, the stuff that looks the jello molds look like it's got cat food in it or something. I don't know. Maybe some marshmallows. I don't know. But it's still good. You know, just eating it. It's good. See, when we empty ourselves of this world, then we're free. We're free to experience what God, this mystery of Christ that he has in store for us. Don't we want that? Don't we want more of Christ? Let me ask that again. Maybe we were thinking about desserts. Don't we want more of Christ? One more time. Don't we want more of Christ? Amen. When we rid ourselves, when we put to death, then we're free to be made alive, to be given all of these good things. And think about this. Isn't being compassionate better than being angry? Isn't being kind better than practicing malice? I mean, if you compare these lists, the last one is so much sweeter. It's so much better to experience. We like it when we receive it, and I promise you, as Jesus said, Luke recorded an act, it's better to give than to receive. It's far better to give compassion than to receive it. It's far better to give forgiveness than to receive it. It's far better to give out peace, to be a promoter of peace. This morning, let's empty ourselves. Let's set our mind on things above and be free to accept what Christ has in store for us. Let's free to demonstrate Christ's likeness. Let's be free to demonstrate that. Bob's going to come up and he's going to lead us in a song. It's an invitation song. The invitation is this. It's, I'm inviting you to accept more of Christ. I'm inviting you this morning to be a difference maker, to appreciate the friendship, experience the maturing reality of a relationship with Christ, and to be remade this morning. For some, it might be confessing Christ for the first time and experiencing the earthly spiritual death of baptism and being reborn into Christ. For others, it might be just renewing a commitment once made. Whatever it is, if you want to be remade this morning, if you want to set your mind on things above, to put off things of this earth, if you want to be restored in the likeness of Christ, come forward. Meet me up front. We'll pray about it. We'll talk about it. We can pray later on today even more. But whatever your need is, if you have a need that you want to share with this group, with these believers, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.